Okay, today's daf is Nun. We're going to start at the beginning of the fourth parak, at the bottom of Mem Tet Amud Bet. We're going to start with Markolis. Before we start, I want to paraphrase a section in the Me'iri. Maybe I'll read a little bit of it. The Me'iri talks about how the Elilim, when they worshiped Elilim, they worshiped different ones represented different, you know, parts of nature, so to speak. If you remember, what did we see about the Markolis? It was this rock type thing. There's a bit of a debate about whether, and we'll see a little bit in the Gemara discussed today. Sounds like there was some rock formation, maybe, which was the god itself, the Elil itself, which was this, we'll talk about, there's two rocks, one next to the other, and one on top of it. Or maybe there was some sort of a pesel, and then people, it was on the roads often, and people would throw rocks at it or possibly make little rock formations next to it that look like this, with the two next to each other and one balanced on top of it. So it seems that it was made of rocks itself, the god, but it's not 100% clear. So the Me'iri talks about, again, this is his explanation of it. I'm not saying it's the only one, but he says that the reason why they did it with rocks was that Ovdei Markolis Haitavo Datam Liyesod Haaretz. They prayed to basically the root of, you know, the earth. Olam Niyadi Gutam Bavadata Adamar. Or maybe somehow the man is connected to work of the land. And because the Avanim, he says, were Yoter Mefor Samim Bidoma Miyut. In other words, they're the most domain. What's the word for domain?
Inanimate,
right. It's the most. How do we know that? Like, where does this come from? Also, in halacha, it's the most muktza. The classic example of muktza, it's the most. What is muktza? Muktza, often people think it's something that you can't use on Shabbat. No, muktza is, it was set aside for no use. So things that on Shabbat you can't use because they're assur to use on Shabbat, they're set aside, so to speak. They're muktza. But the most classic muktza is something that you can't even use on a regular day. In other words, it's a useless item, and rocks are the most useless items. So here he says, because of that, that's why specifically they worship the Avanim, which is interesting. And then they say they put it in this form, because the Me'iri claims it was some star formation they were trying to make that represented some star that they knew, and that's Markolis. Okay, maybe it's actually relating to Mercury, and as Markolis is Mercury, maybe he's talking about the planet Mercury, I'm not sure. Anyway, it's just a bit of an intro. We'll start now with the Mishnah. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Shalosh Avanim Zo Bitzad Zo, or Bitzad Markolis, Asurot. Okay, if you have three rocks, one right next to the other, or next to the Markolis, then they're asurot. Okay, this is what's going to be forbidden. In other words, the point is, if you see this rock formation, then you can assume that it's usur. Okay, in other words, the question is, when you come across rocks, it's three rocks right next to each other that are next to the Markolis are going to be forbidden. So if you see this Markolis and you see these three rocks one next to the other. Now, it's going to be strange because it doesn't sound like one on top of the two. It sounds like, the way they're describing it, sounds like three stones, one next to the other, right? Like in a row. Okay, so if you see these three stones, one next to the other in a row, next to the Markolis, it's going to be asur. Ushtayim mutarot. But if you see only two rocks, then it's mutar, because there was an assumption. Okay, we're going to see soon. I'll hold off on it right now, talk about later what his assumption is if it's only two. The Chachamim Omrim, it has nothing to do with numbers according to Chachamim. Shenir'otimo asurot. V'she'enir'otimo mutarot. It depends how close they are to the Markolis. If they're very close to the Markolis, then we assume they came from the Markolis. If they're far away from the Markolis, then we assume it didn't. And it all depends how close it was. Now the assumption here, when he says close, he means like within one or two amot. Okay? So the Gemara starts off trying to figure out the machloket. If you have the sheet, you can look at the sheet or chart it out. We're going to have two attempts to understand the machloket. The first one is going to not really work. Bishlama Rabbanan. We understand Rabbanan Shita Kasavre Ovdim L'Shvarim. Would they hold that? Okay, now this is part of the, he's going to say, maybe it's part of this debate. Do people worship broken pieces? Because a rock falling off of Markolis would be a broken piece. So it must be they hold Ovdim L'Shvarim. And then, Nir'otimo, Di'ikalamemar Mineh Nafal Asurot. If you see a rock, a stone, that's right near the Marcolis, you can assume that it fell from there, and we worship, and people worship the broken pieces, and therefore it's us. She'ein erot imo mutarot. And then, right, but if it's not nearby, then we can assume it's just a regular stone and it wasn't necessarily worshipped. Ella Rabbi Yishmael, my kasavar. But what is Rabbi Yishmael going to be holding? What's his two or three? Iovdim l'shvarim, if we hold that you worship, people worship broken things, then afilu tarte nami litzar, then it should have nothing to do with the numbers, right? Even two should be aser. And he ain't ovdim l'shvarim, and if people don't worship pieces, broken pieces, then afilu tlat nami lo, then they shouldn't, even three wouldn't be a problem. So that can't be. So therefore, the second option is to say like this. Am Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan now brings his answer. Biyadua shenashru mimenu, divrei hakol asurot. Okay, this, and now I went to the second chart here. I charted out his whole thing. Because he's going to say, in certain cases, there is a machloket. In other cases, there is no machloket between them. In other cases, there is. He's going to try to figure out what exactly they're arguing about. If we know for sure the rocks came from Marcolis, then for sure, everyone agrees they're aser. That's not an issue. Vafilu lamanda amar ein ovdim l'shvarim. And even if you say nobody worships broken pieces of idols, hanemile avodah kochavim delav hainu orche. Right? That's only when it's not the typical way of worshiping this idol to worship with broken pieces. Aval hacha demeikara tivure mitavre hainu orche. In general, if people just put rocks up into formations, this isn't called a broken piece of an idol. This is just everybody brings rocks. So the fact that there's some rocks nearby means they came from the worship of the idol and they're not considered broken pieces because this is the way you worship it. And even if you do consider the formation is broken, the whole idea and the way people worship is by throwing rocks at it. And the idea here is that either there was a pesel, and then people threw rocks at the pesel, and the rocks became part of the pesel itself. Like the, when people would come to worship, they worship also the rocks. Or the assumption is that at roadsides, people would just put up these rock formations. You know, maybe it started with some small rock formation, and then people added, and that whole thing becomes the pesel itself. So therefore, on that issue, nobody argues. For sure, these aren't even considered broken pieces. But ki pligi, the machloket is bistama. The machloket is when you don't know for sure that it came from Marcolis. You happen to be walking on a path. You see some rocks, and you have no idea where they came from. Bimekuravot nami de'ikalamemar minei nafal divrei hakol asurot. And Rashi again says here, like an amah v'chetzi away from the Marcolis, you can also assume, that's again, we don't know for sure. It is, number one, you know for sure. Okay, you know for sure, it's for sure asur. If it's close to the Marcolis, then it's as if you know for sure. And then everyone again is going to agree. But kipligi, the machloket is bimeruchakot, when they're more distanced from the Marcolis. Okay, and therefore that's the machloket. If they're more distant from the Marcolis, obviously, how far away are we talking about, right? So the assumption is, let's say it's about 4 amot away. 4 amot, we usually say, is the space of a person, right? So you could say that within 4 amot, that's when the machloket is. Okay, you know, we can assume for sure. But once it's already closer to 4 amot, then, or let's say from 1.5 to 4, then already that's going to be the machloket. Okay, so now they say, but ha batzab Marcolis katane. If you're going to say it's meruchakot, doesn't the Mishnah say you find it next to the Marcolis? So doesn't next to mean right next to? So what do they say? My batzad, bitzad arba amoti day. Okay, and here's what they say, the arba amot shiur. They say what it means is it's not right next to it, but it's pretty close to it. It's within their 4 amot, so therefore, this, and again, therefore, somebody might think it is a problem and somebody might think it's not. Now we have to understand what's the machloka between them about. So now, okay, here, so that whole thing was charted out in the second chart. Now I'm going back to the first chart, because now we're going to explain, based on that explanation, that it's bistama, meaning you don't know for sure it came from the Marcolis, but it was, you know, and it was somewhat distance from the Marcolis, which now in the end means 4 amot away, or within 4 amot, but more than, let's say, between 1.5 and 4. It's interesting that they don't give exact numbers here, because Rashi says, like an amah mavachetzi is mamash next to it, you know, so what if it's an amah and a quarter, you know, so you don't know where Rashi holds. But okay, let's just assume. So then it's more meruchak. Okay, so in the Rashi should have just said amah v'chetzi, if that's what he was saying. That's what I'm trying to say. But let's just say, from amah v'chetzi to 4 amot, that's already going to be a machloket. So what's the machloket? Rabbi Yishmael Savar, Osim Markolis Katan, Betzav Markolis Gadol. Now we're going to say that it was a machloket of the Mitziud. In other words, what really, how did people worship this? They didn't really know. So Rabbi Yishmael holds, people make small Markolis next to big Markolis. So Shalosh did Damian the Markolis Asuot. Shtayim Mutarot. What he claims is that when people brought rocks and put next to the Markolis, they would make it in these rock formations. Okay? And they would use three just like the Markolis itself. But Shtayim, therefore, if you see two, we're going to assume it's Mutar. Rabbanan Savre, Einosim Markolis Katan, Betzav Markolis Gadol. Loshna shalosh, veloshna shtayim, and therefore people didn't make these little formations. They just put rocks. They either threw rocks, right? Often we talked about it. They would throw rocks. You might think rocks is a negative way of doing it, just like the Baal Peor. This whole thing came up when we talked about the Baal Peor, and people would defecate in front of the idol. Here also people would throw rocks, which is usually a negative thing. But here that was the way they worshipped it. So people would just throw random rocks, right? They didn't throw it in formations of three. So therefore, loshna shalosh veloshna shtayim, it all depends, nirotimo asurot, v'she'en nirotimo mutarot. Okay, it all depends how, you know, if they can be seen from the Markolis, if they're close. You know, it's all a matter of, do you think it fell from there or not? It has nothing to do with the numbers. Okay, so the machloka between them is, were the rocks that people worshipped, were they throwing them in just random things, or did they do it in amounts of three? Now still, when it sounds like he's saying they do rock formations, according to Rabbi Yishmael. The problem is, if you remember, he said zeh betzad zeh, which sounded like three next to each other. So we're going to get to that. Okay, we'll get to it soon. Amar Mar, now we're going back to what Rabbi Yochanan said. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan came and said, this is the machloka, right? In the case of where we know shenashru mimenu, then it's clearly aser. Everyone agrees. So Amar Mar, we're now going back to his statement. Biyadua shenashru mimenu divrei hakol asurot. That doesn't make sense because it contradicts another source. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan is an Amora trying to explain some our Mishnah, but he can't explain it in a way that contradicts some other Tanaitic source unless he can somehow explain it. So Ruminhi, this contradicts a Braita that says, Avanim shenashru min ha-Markolis, if rocks fell down from the Markolis, nirot imo asurot, she'en nirot imo mutarot. Now what does it sound like here? You know where it came from, because nashru min ha-Markolis. Okay, and then we get to the same machloket. Tanakama says nirotimo asurot she'en nirotimo mutarot. Rabbi Shmuel omer shalosh asurot shtayim mutarot. So how do you explain that braita according to Rabbi Yochanan, who said nashru mimenu would clearly there wouldn't be a machloket, and here it says there is. So what do we generally do? We have a problem with the braita. One of the ways of resolving it is to change the wording of the braita and say, oh, it didn't really mean that word; it really meant something else. Amar Rava lo tema shenashru ela ema shenimtzu. You should say that were found and not that fell from. Okay.
Can you talk about the size of the rocks? Because I would think the third rock would have to be smaller than the other two, or it wouldn't maybe.
No, in theory, you could put three rocks of the exact same size.
No, but you couldn't put a bigger one. Like if they saw.
It couldn't be bigger right? One, then it would right.
I was thinking that size might affect why Rashi wasn't specific about whether it's a number, because visually a bigger rock is going to look closer.
That's interesting. That's a good explanation. I like that. Okay. So now, we have Marava. Sorry, I lost my place. Okay. Amarava Latina. Okay. Besava Rabbi Yishmael. Now we're going to have another question. According to Rabbi Yishmael, Shtayim Mutarot. Now we're questioning what it says in the Mishnah. He says Shtayim are Mutarot, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, what did we say? Within four Amot, right? If you see Shtayim, they're going to be Mutarot. The Hatanya doesn't, this also contradicts a Braita. Again, we're going to have a problem with Rabbi Yochanan, because it says Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Shtayim bitfisalo asurot. Okay, now what does it mean bitfisalo? Within its range, right? Bitfisalo or asurot. Shalosh afilu meruchakot asurot. And three, even if they're very far away, okay, so where it sounds like he's saying it depends on the distance. So Ava Rava, lo kashya. Rava again says, don't worry about this braita. Kam b'tfisa achat, kam b'shtei tfisot. What he says is, okay, now we're going to have to explain what this is, but one is where there's tfisa achat, okay, the braita where it says, shtayim b'tfisa lo or asurot, is when they're b'tfisa achat, okay? Hold on, I'll explain 1 minute what this means. The second is b'shtei tfisot. The obvious assumption is it has to do with something about how they're distanced from each other, but now we're going to learn what this is. Hechidami, what state tfisot? De'ika gavho beni ubeni, beni ubeni. So now they say, what does that mean? It means that, let's say there are two rocks are within four amot, but, so if they're within four amot, then we're going to say they're asurot. But if they're within four amot from the Marcolis, and there's a little mound of something in between, then we're going to assume that they're right in between the Marcolis and the rocks, then already we're going to assume it didn't come from there. Okay, so if there's something blocking in between, which makes it appear, again, this is really common sense, right? You see it, it sort of depends on how you see it, then that's what we're going to say. So we're going to say that the Mishnah, where he says Shtayim or Mutarot, is actually, we're now understanding the Mishnah very differently, is only B'shtei Tfisot, where there's something in the middle, okay, that's distancing them. But if you see Mamash 2 right next to it, then even that's going to be us. Okay. Again, within four amot, even. Umarkolis ki agavna mihave. Really, this is the way the Marcolis was? In other words, now we're going to get to our question. Ze betzad ze, three in a row. That's not Marcolis. Vaha tanya, doesn't it say in a braita? Eluhen avnei beit kulis. There's another word for Marcolis. Achat mikan, ve'achat mikan, ve'achat al gabehen. This is how the formation was, right? It was one next to the other with a third on top, like a pyramid. So Amarava, kitanya, that braita is hahi, that braita is bi'ikar Marcolis. In other words, there's a difference between the pesel itself. Again, you can see there was a whole, no one really knew exactly how this was. According to this interpretation, the pesel itself was three rocks, one on top of the other. But alongside it, people would put possibly three rocks, one next to the other. Okay, I don't know why they don't suggest that maybe the assumption is it fell off, right? And that that's a possibility. But they don't assume that. Okay. Amarav. No. Bay. Okay, now we're going to have a story. Bay Yanai Malka Charuf. Okay, the house of Yanai Malka was destroyed. Atu avdei kochavim ukumi bei Marcolis. Okay, they set up a Marcolis there. Atu avdei kochavim achrine delo palche le Marcolis. Okay, now, so we're now going to see this house, right, change. So it was Yanai HaMelech. Yanai HaMelech's palace turned into a Beit Avodah Zarah for Marcolis. From there, it was taken over by avdei kochavim that didn't worship Marcolis. Shaklinu v'chipu behen drachim v'sarta'ot. Okay, this goes back to what we saw previously. They took these and they made roads out of them. Okay, those non-Jews who came, those idol worshippers who came and took over the Beit Marcolis and turned it into their own thing, they didn't need all the rocks. What did they do? They covered the roads with them. Okay, they paved roads, you could say. Ika rabbanan deparshe. It's very fascinating. There were rabbis who wouldn't walk on that road because it was used from the rocks of the Beit Marcolis.
Do you think it would have been mevatel?
Yafeh. So it would have been mevutal, exactly. So good question. V'ika rabbanan. Oh, sorry. Right. V'ika rabbanan de lo parshe. And there were others that didn't have an issue with this. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. This is, I find this interesting. There's like a good historical, right? You have rabbis who say, oh, we can't walk on those roads. And we had other rabbis who said, what do you mean we can't walk on those roads? Of course we can walk on those roads. First of all, it was Mevutal. Right? They're no longer considered Avodah Zarah. Remember, we distinguish, we'll see this again, but we distinguish between what? If non-Jews pave the road versus Jews paving the road. If Jews pave the road, then Jews can't do Bitul if they took the rocks themselves. Okay? But the non-Jews, we have what's called bitul, which means they can cancel out something from being a avodah zarah. In which case, when they pave the roads, it's totally fine. So really, the question for us is going to be, as Ruth pointed out, well, why is it a problem at all? Why were there rabbis who wouldn't walk on these roads? So, anyway, what happens? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Benan shel kedoshim mahalech alehem va'anu nifrosh mehen. He says, the son of the holy ones walks on these, and we're not going to. In other words, he's saying, great rabbis do this. Okay, specifically talking about somebody. We'll see who in a minute. Okay, this very holy person, who the assumption is was very makpid on elilim in some way, which we're going to see in a minute. Okay, and he. Well, the question is, okay, I'll get to it in a minute. But anyway, we'll get to it when we discuss his name. But Benan Shel Kedoshim does this, so what's your issue, right? This is a classic. You have rabbis on one side, and you have rabbis who are totally machmir, and rabbis who are saying there's no problem here, and the rabbis who think it's saying it's no problem say, I don't understand what you're doing. Look at this one does it. You know, what's your issue? why are you being so machmir? Think about it. It's a really crazy chumrah, because if people can't walk on the roads, it's not like nowadays where you can get to places lots of different ways. Right? And I'm thinking yesterday I was on the way to drive my daughter to her math matkon and I hopped on the highway figuring that's usually a quick way to go, and they stopped traffic on the highway for half an hour. And there was no way back. There was no way. I was literally like the third car right after that. I saw the police car coming to cut off the cars to basically stop. They were reenacting some accent. Anyway, we sat there for half an hour. She got there late to her test. It was like, it was awful. But anyway, there's a case where there's only one way to get there. You can't get there any other way, and you're just stuck, right? So, you know, it's very crazy to tell them you just can't take this road, right? How could you do that? So, what does he say? You know, come on, guys. We're not going to. So now they want to know, mind me who, right? He says it in such a curious manner. Who is this Benan Shel Kedoshim? The Gemara wants to know. So they say it's Rabbi Benachem and Rabbi Simai. Okay, he was this Rabbi Benachem, the son of Simai. Va'amai kari lehu Benan Shel Kedoshim. Why they call him Benan Shel Kedoshim? Now the assumption is, although I question this assumption, that the Kadosh was his father, not him, which could be. In other words, he's the son of Kedoshim. But sometimes people use the word son of Kedoshim to connote the person himself is a son of holy. But anyway, let's assume it was his father. Either which way, the point is his father was so crazy about this. Of course, you know, he would be. What was he so crazy about? Afilu b'tzurata dezuze lo mistakel. This is an interesting halacha. On the coins, they had figures, right? Often it would be even deities, right? Or some picture of some god. Or maybe it was just a picture of a king or something like that. Well, really, it's mutar to use because nobody's worshiping the coins. They're not used for worship purposes, so you can look at it. But he was makpid not to even look at the forms on the coins because he felt like that was getting close to Avodah Zarah. Okay, so now, basically, Rabbi Yochanan says, come on, we can walk on these roads. So now we want to understand why people thought you couldn't walk on the roads. My time and demand to parish, so especially if we know this Dine Bitul. Savar la ki hada amar Rav Gidol, amar Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, amar Rav, minayin litikrov et avodah kochavim she'en la betela olamit. How do you know that something that was worshipped, used as worship for Avodah Zarah, can never be canceled out? In other words, there's something, you know, you can have something that was represented, that was used somehow in the worship, but if it, in other words, something that's connected with Avodah Zarah, but if it was actually offered as an offering to the Eliel, then you can't cancel it forever. That's called tikrovet, something that was used for worship, like an animal, whatever it might be. So now we're going to learn a little bit about the definition of what makes something a tikrovet. How do we know this? So first of all, how do we know that it doesn't have a tela olamit? Because it says, what's the source? Vayitzamdu labal peor vayochlu zivchei meitim. And just like ma meit ein lo betela olam, the iser hana by a meit never goes away. There's no way to redeem it or, you know, use it at any point. Ach tikrovet avodah kochavim ein lo betela olam. If you remember, we learned the meit from the egla rufa, right? There was a whole slew of things we learned these from. So anyway, anything you use for worship of Avodah Zarah, ein la betela olam. Okay, so, okay, well, now we have it. The rocks were tikrovet Avodah Zarah, and therefore, they can't ever be canceled. So now, what about the other side? That sounds like a pretty good answer. Uman delo parish amar bi'ina ke'ein pnim veleka. This is very interesting. In order for it to be something that is called a tikrovet, it has to be like the way we do it in the Beit HaMikdash. Pnim means in the Beit HaMikdash. It has to have a similarity to somehow the way we worship. Now, we don't have any sort of worship where we throw rocks. So that's not called a tikrovet. It has to have some similarity. Right now, let's just assume, although we're going to see later that it means it has a broader definition, but let's assume, what does it mean? It means like you shecht an animal and you sacrifice it. So it has to have like shchita or burning. Okay, soon we're going to see it's not just that. It could even have something that's like zrika, okay, like zrikat hadam, they sprinkle the blood. Okay, so anything that is similar to a shchita, okay, well, I'll already kind of allude, right? Cutting something off to kind of break it or kill it, something like that. You know, zrika, throwing, sprinkling blood, which we'll see. Maybe the sprinkling of something else might count like zrika, but has to have some sort of similar action. And these rocks, throwing these rocks, has absolutely no action similar to it. Okay? So Amar of Yosef Bar Abba, Now we're going to have another comment related. He said, Ikla Rabba Bar Yirmiya La'atrin. Rabba Bar Yirmiya came to our city. Va'ata va'ayte matnita biyade. And he brought this braita with him. And he told us this braita when he got there. Ove kohavim shevi avanim mina markolis. V'chipa mehem drachim v'tartiot mutahot. Okay, now this is something we actually saw already, which is what? If the Ove kohavim brings the rocks himself and paves the roads, it's fine. But Yisrael shevi avanim and amar kolis. But if the Jew brings them himself, the chipabe and drachim v'sartiot asurot. Okay, they're forbidden. The late nagar v'lo bar naga di yifrakine. Okay, he says, and nobody, right? Even a chacham. Okay, the nagar is a carpenter, but what he means is it's a reference to chachamim. Okay, no chacham or the son of a chacham can question this. Or, no, I'm sorry, can explain this, okay? In other words, he brought this braita, and the rabbi who was there and heard it said, what kind of a crazy braita is this? This makes no sense. So Amar Rav Sheshet, Rav Sheshet says, what do you mean? Ana lo nagarana, velo bar nagarana. Okay, here you see his humility, right? I'm not a chacham, and I'm not even the son of a, right? I'm not the son of a chacham either. Uparitna le. In other words, and I can explain this very well, right? We even know this, right? We learned this, so what's so difficult? My kushe le. So what was so difficult for him? In other words, I don't even understand what was so difficult for him. In other words, what's going on here is he assumed that. Why did he think it was so difficult? Because he viewed it as a tikrovet. And how could you cancel Avnei Markolis? So he says, he obviously doesn't know what Rav Gidol said in the name of Rav, which is, you need ke'em p'nim v'leika. In other words, here you see that this idea of ke'em p'nim wasn't necessarily known to everybody, because here this guy brings this bright. I didn't understand. He said, how could they use this? This is tikrovet of Avodah Zarah. I can't even understand this bright. And as he brought the bright, he said, I learned this, but I have no idea what this means. And comes to Shesh, he says, it's totally obvious. Right, this is like a good issue of once you learn something, it becomes obvious to you, right? But not everybody learns everything, and he had never heard this thing about ke'im p'nim. Okay, and in fact, we pasca this way that it needs to be ke'im p'nim, and that's the situation. Since we brought up this kind of a situation where Yosef or Ak, right, between it was Yosef or Abba, basically talks about the situation where Rabba Bar Yirmiya brought some confused source, you know, source he was confused about. And then Rav Yosef Bar Abba says, I don't know what he was so confused about. So the same thing happened with a different situation. I'm Rav Yosef Bar Abba, Ikla Rabba Bar Yirmiya La'atrin, Va'atav Aite Matnita Biyade. Okay, now this has nothing to do with our topic. It's the same exact situation that happened. So he came to our town and he brought this braita. Right? You can imagine this day. Rabba Bar Yirmiya comes and starts, right? Maybe he goes to a new town, he figures he'll get some answers to his question. He starts bringing these braita that he doesn't understand. So another one was this. So now we have to talk about, before we start, Hilchot Shemitah, okay, Shvi'it, which is Shemitah. In the seventh year, you can't work the land. Also, on Moed, which is Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to work the land either, right? You can't do work. The question is, which work is permitted, right? It's not all work, right? Chol HaMoed isn't like Isur Melacha on Chag, and Devar HaAved is allowed, right? Something that might cause you a loss, something that's not... It's as opposed to on Shabbat, where we have a lot of melachot that are not such a tircha, right? To turn on a light switch, let's say. Okay, we're not already, whatever. But to turn on a light switch, right, is not very difficult work, but you're not allowed to do it. Whereas on Chag, you can turn on Chol HaMoed, you can turn on lights. It's only melacha that's tircha, like being kotzer, going out and reaping your crops and, you know, doing anything that's real work. Okay, so that's one of the differences. Whereas Shemitah, the issue is any work in the fields is usur. However, since it's an entire year, there's certain things, if your trees start dying and you have to fix them, or anything that is to ensure that your crops don't die, right? Whereas Chol HaMoed, we don't have that heter because nothing's going to happen within a few days, right? So your crops aren't, like your tree's not going to die in a course of a week. So we're going to see that there's different halachot about them. So he's going to bring this braita now, which relates to three different issues. Okay, again, it's charted out on your sheet, if you can see. There's a little chart, the fifth chart on the page. Okay, so what do we have here? Different halachot about Shemitah and the Moed. You can see the first one there's a machloket about, and the second two, it's not a machloket. The first two, it depends whether it's Moed or Shemitah. The second two are either allowed across the board or asur across the board. Okay, what are the cases here? Matzliin umezahamim b'shvi'it. Okay, if it's the Shemitah year and you have worms in your tree, you're allowed to pull out the worms. Okay, the idea is you're not doing it by hand, but with an implement, okay, which is more of a malacha. Umezahamim, and you can put manure onto a cut in the tree to fix the tree. Okay, this is to cure trees, right? You have diseased trees. You can fix them during the Shemitah year. Ve'em matzliin umezahamim b'moed. Okay, but you can't do this on Chol HaMoed. Kan v'kan, both on the Moed and on Shvi'it. Eim megazmin, okay, both on the Shemitah and on the Shvi'it, you can't prune your trees, right? Because what's the idea of pruning? To make your tree grow better. Well, that's already, right? Malacha, first of all, malacha on Chol HaMoed, you can't do that. And it's malacha for Shemitah because you're improving your, right? It's not to keep it from dying, you're improving. V'sachim shemen legazum. You can put some shemen onto a place where you where the tree was cut in order, again, the assumption of moed is it's not really work to put some shemen on it, right? That's not serious work. And b'shvi'it, it's not, it's also to sustain the tree, right, to protect it, and not, it's not going to increase the growth. The late nagar below bar nagar to yifrakina. And again, he says, and I don't know any chacham or any son of a chacham who can explain this to me. I'm a Ravina. So Ravina says now, Ana lo nagar ana, velo bar nagar ana. Okay, everybody's got this humility. You wonder how serious the humility is if everybody makes this comment, right? Oh, I'm not a chacham or a ben chacham. But anyway, says, I'm not such a genius, but umifrakina la, but I can explain this to you. So now we're going to explain, we're going to have several attempts. You can see there's five attempts. Okay, you can see the last chart on the page. What was difficult for him? And they're basically going to come to the conclusion, each of the times they're going to say, well, this isn't difficult, and this isn't difficult, and this is, right, this is easy to explain. So finally, they're going to get to the fifth one, which they don't have a response for. So my kakashale, if you want to say the first one was difficult, why is it allowed on Shemitah, but it's not allowed on the moed, the take out the worms and the manure? If that's what you think the question is, midame, they're totally different, shvi'it and moed. Shvi'it, malacha asar rachmana, tircha share. Right, and shvi'it, it's malacha that's allowed, right? It's malacha that's, sorry, that's forbidden, but it never says anything about you can't work hard. You know, it's, yes, you can work hard. It's just, you know, you can't do malacha working your field to have things grow. But moed, afilu terchanami, aser. But on the moed, we don't want you to do anything that's any sort of burden. Burdensome malacha is forbidden. It doesn't matter what the purpose is for. Ve'elazium azium kakashale. So the second attempt is to say, maybe, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Zium agizum kakashale. The next one is zium azium. That's why I read it wrong. Zium agizum kakashale. In other words, why is zihum okay in the Shemitah year? Right, that's the putting manure on top of a cut. But gizum, pruning, is asur. Okay, if you want to say that, again, midame, these two things, right, mashna zihum deshari, mashna gizum deasur, midame, these two things aren't similar. Zihum okume ilana veshari. Zihum is to make sure the tree doesn't die. And therefore it's allowed on Shemitah. But gizum avruye ilana veasur. But gizum, pruning, is to make the tree grow better. And that you're not allowed to do on the Shemitah. Third attempt, elazium azium kakashale. Maybe it's zium agizum. Sorry, azihum. Keep messing it up. Zium azium. Okay, well, there was only one case of zium, so what do we mean here? Dekatane. Now we're going to bring up another source. Both these next questions are going to say there's contradictory sources. First, we thought the Braita itself had a contradiction within it. Then we said, no, no, no. We resolved all those. Maybe it's that this Braita contradicts some other source, which is actually a Mishnah in Shvi'it. Where minhi. Okay, so it says in our Braita that he brought matzliinu mezamim b'shvi'it. You can do this on the Shemitah year. But in Masechet Shvi'it, it says in the Mishnah, mizahamim et hanitiot. Okay, if you take a little sapling, you can put manure on it. Vikorchinotan, you can tie them up. You know, when you tie it to the, you tie up the branch, you stake in the branches. I'm sorry, you put in a stake and you tie the branches to it or something. You kind of make the branches to grow better. Vikotminotan, okay, it's a bit of a debate what kotmin is, whether it's either the cut off the top, like to enhance the growth, but then that's exactly like pruning. So maybe it means something else, which is they would cover it with ashes in order to enhance the growth. I read that in the Koran, I don't know. Ve'osim lahem batim. There's a lot of debates about what this one is. Maybe the Yerushalmi says you can build a, they build a booth to shade the little saplings so they wouldn't get destroyed by the sun. The Rabbeinu Chananel said that they would dig a ditch around it, kind of like a little house, in order to allow the water to stay inside, to keep the water there. Whatever it is, some sort of bay you build around it. Umashkinotan, and you can water them. Ad Rosh Hashanah. This is all, okay, these are things that are allowed. There's something, okay, Shvi'it is like, there's a lot of comparison between Shemitah and Shabbat, okay, and the Psukim compare them. So they learn that just like on Shabbat, there's what's called Tosefet. There's also Tosefet Shvi'it, which means there's certain things that start even before the Shemitah year. Okay, the Shemitah year starts on Rosh Hashanah. So these are things you can do even during Tosefet Shvi'it, but not in the Shemitah year. Okay, you can only do them in the Tosefet. They're like pseudo-problematic, right? So because of that, we allow them in the Tosefet, but we don't allow them during the year. So what do you see here? Ad Rosh Hashanah'im b'shvi'it lo. But you can't do it on the Shemitah year. And it says, mizahamim etenitiyot. And our Braita said, you could do it during the Shemitah year. So maybe that's his issue. So they say, no, that's also not a question. Because Dilma, maybe it's just like Kidu Rav Ukva Bar Chama, just like Rav Ukva Bar Chama said somewhere else in a different issue, maybe we could say the same thing here. What did Rav Ukva Bar Chama say somewhere else? Dam Rav Ukva Bar Chama, Tre Kishkushe Havit. Chad Livruye Ilana Vaser, V'chad Vesetume Pile Vishare. Okay, there's two types of, Rashi says Kishkushe is Chafira Tachal Azitim. There's two types of digging they would do around the olive tree. One was to make the ilan grow better, right, to improve, and that's going to be usher in the Shemitah year. And one is lisitume pile, which is to cover the cracks in the roots. Okay, so, and that's going to be mutar, because that's going to basically protect the tree from dying. So just like he said it there, hachanami, you could say that maybe there's trezi amumehave. Maybe there's two types of this manure that we're putting on the cut in the tree. Again, maybe one is a cut that, you know, it's going to basically help the tree to grow better, right? Chad leukume ilane. I'm sorry, let's start with the first one they said. Chad leukume ilane vishare. One is to keep the tree growing, that it doesn't die, right? To protect it from dying, and that's going to be mutar. And chad lavruye ilane va'aser. And one is going to be to improve the tree, and that's going to be forbidden. So therefore, you can't question his braita with the other braita, because they could have been just talking about different situations, just like Rav Ukva Bar Chama explained about a different issue. Maybe, fourth option, ela sicha asicha kakashele. Maybe his issue was with the sachin shemen ligazum, I guess, to where it's pruned. De katane sachin shemen ligazum bein b'moed bein shvi'it. So this is allowed both on the moed and on shvi'it. Ureminhi, and it contradicts again the mission in shvi'it, where it says sachin et hapagin uminakvin umefatmin otam. Ad Rosh Hashanah. Again, things that you can do before Rosh Hashanah, during the Tosefet, but not once the Shemitah year starts. You can put this oil on the pagim. Those are the dates that are unripe dates. I assume they mean the tree here. Ad Rosh Hashanah. And you can fatten them up until Rosh Hashanah. Okay, you can. What they mean here, mefatmin, Rashi says, memalim et hanekavin, Shemen paginu periatza, right? They would fill in the holes, okay? They would kind of, right, fatten them up. Okay, this is all allowed to Rosh Hashanah, but after Rosh Hashanah, right? So ad Rosh Hashanah'in b'shvi'i lo, but not on the Shemitah. So again, they say, midame, hacha uchme ilane b'share, hata bitume pere b'aser. What they were doing with those pagin was to try to fatten up the fruits. That, of course, is going to be forbidden in the Shemitah year. But when they did the shemen by us, right, don't assume just because it says shemen, it's the same thing. Totally different thing. By us, it was to protect the tree from dying. So therefore, we're finally going to get to the final answer as to what must have been difficult for him. Amar le'Rav Sama Bered Rav Ashi le'Ravina. And as Ravina said, I don't understand what his problem is. If it was this, I can answer it. 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 So he gave four options. So Rav Sama Bered Rav Ashi comes to Ravina. Rashi the Ravina Bar Yirmiya, is that Bar Yirmiya? Oh, sorry, Rabba Bar Yirmiya, I should say. Why Rabba Bar Yirmiya? He was the one who brought the question. I guess now someone else comes and says to Rabba Bar Yirmiya, Sicha de Moed Azium de Moed Kakashile. It must be that what was troubling you was the Sicha of the Moed, okay, that you can do this you can do the oil, but you can't do the zeum, the manure, must be what's difficult. Michte hayukume vahayukume maishna hay deshare u maishna hay deaser. What's the issue here? If you can put the shemen on the gazum, on the right to over the cut, because right on the moe, because you're allowed to do that, right? The assumption is why you're allowed to do that, because it keeps the tree from dying. Well, then you should also be allowed to put the manure. And what do we always talk about Chol HaMoed? I didn't say this until now because it didn't come up until now. But what's allowed on Chol HaMoed? Davar HaAved, if there's going to be a loss. So if your tree's dying, you should be allowed to put the manure on, even on the Moed. And it proves it from the fact that you could be Sachin Shem. So Hainu Deka Amrale, Late Nagar Velobar Nagar Deifrakina. That must be what was troubling him. Why putting the manure on, right? Which also isn't such a serious malacha. It's not, doesn't sound much different than putting shemen on, and therefore he didn't understand why he couldn't, why, you know, why there was a difference there. Okay, so self, we figured out his answer. We're now back to our topic. Okay, that was a total tangent. Just because of this, you know, there's no chacham, no tzavid chacham could explain this to me. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Avodah kochavim sheovdim ota b'makel. Okay, if there's an avodah kochavim that people worshipped it with a makel, shavar makel b'faneha, chayav. Zarach makel b'faneha, patur. If you break a makel in front of it, you're chayav. In other words, this is all, if people used a makel, they worshipped it using a makel, and you break a makel b'faneha, then you're chayav. Because that's considered like the way people worshipped it. But if zarach makel b'faneha, patur. But if you throw the makel, then you're patur. It seems like it's coming up because throwing the rocks. If you threw the rocks to Marcolis, you'd be chayav. But if you throw a makel in front of an idol that people worship with a makel, you're going to be patur. So Amar Le Abaye Le Rava Maishna Shever Dehave Le Ke'en Zvicha. Okay, now they're going to explain. Why if you break a makel, this is why when I explained this before, I kind of alluded to this. When you break the makel, it's like shechting an animal. What's the idea? You have to do some malacha that's like the malacha bifnim. So if you break the makel, it's kind of like shechting the animal. So if that's the case, why isn't throwing it, and we should have brought this up before with throwing the rocks, why is it not like zrikat hadam? Okay? So zarak nami, havele ke'ein zrika. It's just like sprinkling the blood. You know, it's sprinkling, but it's kind of throwing, right? And here you're throwing. So Amar Leh, Be'ina Zrika Mishtaberet. Zrika Dam is, like they say, Zrika is like a sprinkling. Okay, Rashi says, like Zrika Dam Shopnim She'ena Mechuberet. It's not like a stream, right? It's not like a, you throw and it and the blood goes spurting like, you know, in a big shoot of blood. Ela Mishtaber V'Nofel Tipin Tipin. It's a little sprinkle, right? You basically wouldn't call throwing the same as sprinkling. It's easy in English to explain that, right? So basically, it needs to be, throwing a makel has nothing to do with sprinkling blood. Sprinkling, throwing, they're not the same thing. Okay, we'll stop here, and then, let's do a little bit more, because I forgot this finishes right here. ATV, so now they question this, and they say, safatla, is it with a sin? It's like a sin. Safatla so'a. If you feed it, you feed the pestle, you kind of give it excrement, or you pour it on it urine, chayav. Okay, that's considered, even if this isn't the typical way of worshiping the idol, if you did this, your chayav is if you worshipped idols. So why is that? Bishlama avit shal memei raglayim ika zrika mishtaberet, right? It's like zrika mishtaberet. But soa mai zrika mishtaberet. In other words, we could explain the avit shel memei raglayim urine also, you could say sort of gets sprinkled, it drips, okay? So therefore, you could see that it might drip and it won't be like a flow. But soa, you can't say that it's a zrika mishtaberet, that's like a solid item, it's going to go in one thing. Okay, there's a little disgusting gemara, so especially the answer. Ika b'tsoa lecha, okay? You'd have to explain that source that it was loose excrement, in which case it could have been sprinkled. Okay, pleasant way to end the talk. At least we finished that section.